worshiping together, celebrating, and now we get to celebrate through hearing God's word. You might know that I was away last week. I was in Columbus, Ohio for the Alliance Council. We here at Smoky Point are a part of a larger family called the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and every other year there is this gathering, a gathering of pastors and workers in CMA churches across the country, and along with missionaries who have come in from around the world, and we all gather together, thousands of people gather together for the purpose of celebrating what God has been doing, and to be reminded once again, because we so easily lose sight of it, to be reminded once again all together of why we do what we do and of the mission that God has sent us on. And it was a pretty powerful week together, and I wish that you all could have been there. But since you weren't able to be there, I've brought counsel back to you in the form of 4 minutes of a highlight of what I had the opportunity, my family had the opportunity to experience all week long. So watch this.
Well, Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family, welcome to Council 2017, Columbus, Ohio. We've been preparing 2 years for your arrival.
We believe that God sings over us. We believe that God loves to hear us sing over him. So we sing.
Stretch forth your hand and heal. Perform signs and wonders in the holy name of your servant Jesus. And the room in which we were meeting was shaken. Attempts to domesticate the gospel is challenged by the Holy Spirit's call to move forward. The call of God for us as a movement is to be a Holy Spirit-led, Holy Spirit-sanctified, Holy Spirit-empowered movement. The call of God for us as a movement is to confess, "Oh Lord, no limits, no barriers. Where your Spirit sends us, we will go. And what your Spirit desires, we are open." Hallelujah.
The New Testament clearly describes a Spirit-directed mission. I feel that in the Alliance that I grew up in, there was an emphasis on certain aspects of the Holy Spirit, but we forgot, and we still tend to forget, that he only gave them power to do what he had directed them to do. That sounds like such a simple statement. Don't miss it. He only gave them power to do what he had directed them to do. He's in charge of the church. It's his church. It's his mission.
You ask me the question, what is it that keeps me up at night? What's the thing that bothers me most in my soul? It's the idea that there are 500,000 people in my own backyard who are headed to a Christless eternity. If a church is going to be reaching lost people, then the people who are leading the church need to go first in reaching their own lost neighbor. God wants us to reach one more.
Lions family, that stay faithful to this task of taking the gospel to the least reached peoples of the world. It doesn't have to be an either or. In Acts 1:8, there are no ors. When my Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll have the capacity to take my gospel to your town, Jerusalem, to your region, Judea, to Samaria, people who are close to you or not like you, and all the way to the ends of the earth. And, no ors. And so if you're writing an or into the text, you're not taking the text seriously, because you have enough capacity by the Spirit of God as we bind together as a family for us to do it all well.
It was a pretty great week together. And for those of you who have been around Smoky Point for a while, you probably noticed somebody in that video. Our president, John Stumbo, the president of our denomination, used to be the pastor of this church. And it was great to see him and his family and to just hear his heart. By the way, he was voted in again to continue leading our movement in another 4 years into the future. So it's fun to be led by a man who is godly, who has a soft heart for Jesus, and it's good to be a part of a family that is passionate about the mission. And let me just ask you something. Did you notice a theme in what you heard there? Like maybe Holy Spirit? Isn't that interesting? I went away over to Ohio. We've been in the middle of this Holy Spirit series, and what I heard over and over and over again was Holy Spirit work. And that message of the presence and the power of Holy Spirit is being proclaimed across this country and around the world, and I feel like we're right in line with what God is doing. And so it's cool to be a part of the Alliance family. This morning, we are in week 5 of our series on Holy Spirit. And today, we're going to discover what it means to walk in the Spirit. Now, if you've been around church for very long, there's certain words or phrases we use, and sometimes I don't even know if we know what they mean. We just say them because you go to church, right? And one of those phrases sometimes is the term walk in the Spirit. You go, oh yeah, just, you know, walk in the Spirit. And you go, well, what does that mean? You go, well, I don't know, right? And I'm telling you that that is so absolutely key to your day-to-day life. We have to understand what it means to walk in the Spirit. And it has everything to do with your life and my life today. And so by the end of today, I pray that it won't just be a phrase, but that we will have a greater understanding of what it means and that we will have a desire to walk in the Spirit. What we're going to do is focus in Galatians chapter 5, where we find a compelling picture of what it looks like to live under the direction of Holy Spirit, right? And if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open up there to the New Testament book of Galatians chapter 5. There are different pockets in Scripture where it kind of focuses in on who Holy Spirit is and what he does, and Galatians chapter 5 is one of those places. Galatians 5, starting in verse 16, here is what God's word says. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. There is a battle raging to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Great passage. And in this, there are some really, really powerful promises that I don't want you to miss. In fact, the very first verse I just read is like life-changing if you understand what it really means and the implications of it. Listen to it. It says this: walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Let me just say that again. Let me let it sink in. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, if you are a Christ follower, you probably know and you have experienced that there is a battle raging inside each one of us, right? And the battle is between the desires of the spirit and the desires of the flesh, right? He said they're at war with one another inside us. The desires of the spirit and the desires of the flesh, of myself, of sin, right? There's this battle that's raging back and forth. Do you feel the battle? Me too. I feel it. And I desperately, desperately want my selfish, fleshly desires to be defeated. Don't you? I do. And this passage tells me how that can happen. I mean, how many of us just find ourselves in this place in life where we're going, oh, I'm just struggling in this area of my life. I just keep falling into the same thing. I just keep battling the same thing. I feel like I'm losing the battle with my flesh all the time, over and over and over again. And then we sort of throw our hands up and go, well, I don't know. It's just how it is. I'll just keep battling on. But this little verse, this passage says what you can do about it. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then he doesn't stop there. What you will display in your life, he says, is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Don't you want that kind of stuff to be oozing out of your life, to be true about you? I do. So how does that happen? How does it happen that I don't continue to be defeated by the flesh and yet ooze out those amazing fruits of the Spirit? How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Okay. So what does that mean? Right? That's great, Jim. That sounds amazing. This could be life-changing. Like, I battle with this stuff all the time. I don't know what to do about it. I want love to be flowing through me, and it just doesn't. I want kindness and self-control. How does that happen? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, Paul uses several terms to communicate the same idea in the passage we just read, right? He says, walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit, all communicating the same idea. And the question that it leaves us with is, how do you do that? I mean, it all sounds great, but what does it actually look like for us to walk in the Spirit? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we're going to talk about that this morning. And I want to look at three requirements, three key truths that we have to understand and embrace if we're going to walk in the Spirit. If you'd like to take notes, I'd encourage you to do this because we forget quickly, right? Here's the first one. Walking by the Spirit requires submitting. Walking by the Spirit requires submitting. You heard that right. I said the S word. Submitting. Many of us are uncomfortable with that word and what it means, and yet it is the only path to the freedom that we desire. Did you hear that? We're uncomfortable with the concept of submitting, and yet it is the only path to the freedom that we desire to live in, right? Don't you want to live in freedom from that battle and that just defeated, like this battle with the flesh? Don't you want to live in the freedom of that? Don't you want to live in the freedom of loving people and that kind of goodness and kindness that just flows through you? To live in that freedom, you need to understand that the pathway to that is the pathway of submitting. Humble submission. Walking in this and the guidance of Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit requires the humble submission of a follower. Are you a follower? Now that word has taken on new meaning in our culture, right? right? You have, you know, an app on your phone that says, how many followers do I have? They are not your followers. They're not actually following you, right? So when it says we're following, we're submitting, that means I want what you want. I surrender to what you say and not what I want, Holy Spirit, right? That's a follower. Walking by the Spirit requires submitting. Day by day, sometimes minute by minute and second by second, submitting to the work of the Spirit in our lives. Romans chapter 12 talks a little bit about this, about what that looks like on a day-to-day basis. And it says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect, right? I appeal to you, brothers, by God's mercy, to present your body, to lay down your whole self as a living, breathing sacrifice. Now, there's two interesting words here, because one is living and the other one is sacrifice. Because if you look all throughout Scripture, what does a sacrifice do? It dies, right? You come and you offer a sacrifice to God in the Old Testament, and what happens is it dies. And this passage is a call to die to self. It's an ongoing process. Continue offering yourselves, dying to yourselves, dying to your way, and submitting to His way. You cannot walk in the Spirit without submitting. Listen, you and I think we desire to win that battle with the flesh, right? We desire to win that battle, and we desire to ooze out the fruit of the Spirit. Well, the only way that we're going to walk in the Spirit, which is contingent on that, is through submitting to the Spirit. And I got to tell you, I have a hard time accepting directions. You can ask my wife. There have been countless times in the car when Stacy has turned to me and said, do you think we need directions? And what do I say? No. Are you kidding me? Why would we need directions? I know where we're going. Anyone else ever have this conversation in the car before? Yeah, right. Why in the world would I need directions when I know where we're going? And sometimes I do, and it works out okay, and sometimes not so much, right? Last week while we were in Ohio, we had a rental car. And it was cool because we came in and said, oh, this is the first, you're the first people to drive this. It's a brand new car. You know, it had the new car smell. We got in, and there was navigation built into the car, you know, the little navigation deal. It's like, which was cool, sort of, right? Because what I discovered very quickly, you know, you kind of type in, you know, we want to go to this hotel or whatever, and it starts, you know, talking. What I discovered pretty quickly is that she was talking slower than I was driving, right? And so I would hear, turn left now, and I just passed it. You know, it's like, oh, this is not working. So I was getting really frustrated with, you know, directions. So then we got out the phone and the navigation on the phone. And so I'm hearing two voices, right? I'm hearing the car speaking and the phone is talking. I'm going, what do I listen to? Do I listen to the phone? Do I listen to the car? Or do I listen to my own innate sense of directions? Right? You know what I'm talking about. Some of us struggle taking directions, right? I want you to hear this. Do not expect direction from Holy Spirit if you are committed to your own way. Do not expect direction from Holy Spirit if you are committed to your own way. Here's how it looks. Oh, Holy Spirit, oh God, please guide me. and it better be there. Let's just be honest. How many of us in our hearts and in our decisions that we've done that? You sort of want God's sort of blessing over my plans, right? We do this. I've already typed it into the navigation. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. This is who I'm marrying. This is the plan. God, do you want to bless it? Navigation's already set. Do not expect a direction from Holy Spirit if you have already set the direction. That is not walking by the Spirit. In fact, it is that kind of pride that leads to the gratification of the flesh. The kind of pride that says, I got it figured out. I know the direction. I know the destination. I know how to get there in my life. And I can't even tell you how many countless conversations I've had with people who find themselves in this mess of life, gratifying the desires of the flesh over and over. You find themselves, they come and go, I don't know how I ended up here. I do. Because back here somewhere, you stopped submitting to Holy Spirit. You said, I got a plan, I got a direction, and this is what I'm doing. And if you do not want to end up in that place, if you do not want to be gratifying the desires of the flesh, then you have to walk in the Spirit. And to walk in the Spirit, you have to submit to Him. What if we were to come and just say, Holy Spirit, I surrender to You. I want what You want. No agenda. I have not typed in a navigation for the next step of my life. I surrender and submit to You. What if we did that? What if each day you just came and said, I want to be a living, breathing sacrifice. I want to be dying to myself today. I want what You want. That's part of what it means to walk in the Spirit. It requires submitting. Let me ask you a question. Do you have the attitude of a follower? Do you, honestly? Do you have the attitude of a follower? Who submits, who surrenders, who says, I want what You want. Because I'm just telling you that that is the path to this kind of life over here that you and I desperately want, where the flesh is not winning and the Spirit is winning in our lives and just oozing out of us. You have to have an attitude of a follower. Walking in the Spirit requires submitting. It also requires listening. Listening. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit speaks and we must listen. But how do you know? This is the question that always comes. But how do you know the Spirit's voice? Right? How do you know if it's really God? How do you know if it's the Spirit that's guiding me and not something else? Well, you can know. You might go, well, you know, I wish that it was as easy as a voice popping up on my phone that says, turn left now. Right? But it doesn't work like that, does it? However, it's not as mysterious as you might think. It's not as, well, is it God or is it not, as you might think. In fact, Jesus speaks to this when He's telling us what the Holy Spirit is going to do. In John 16, listen to what He says, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore I said that He takes what is Mine, and He declares it to you. What will the Holy Spirit do? He will guide you. He will direct you. Into all truth, right? That means that what you hear from the Spirit will always, always, always be in line with God's Word, because this is truth. You need to hear this. Part of walking the Spirit is listening to Him, and you just need to know that when He speaks, it will always be in line with this. I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with people who have set the navigation and they're heading this direction, and we have a conversation. And they say, this is what I'm doing. This is the decision I'm making. And I go, well, let's look at what the Bible has to say about that. And we open it up, and it says something that is completely opposite of the decision they're making right now. And I say, so here we have God's word saying this, and you're saying, I'm doing that. What are you going to do with that? And they say, I'm going to go with what I'm hearing. I hear something, and I just want to tell you, you are not hearing Holy Spirit. You are not hearing Holy Spirit. You may be hearing yourself, your own desires. You may be hearing the enemy, but you're not hearing Holy Spirit, because he will never guide you. He will never direct you. He will never speak to you in a way that is not in line with God's word. So there's something practical in this. That means that if you regularly spend time in God's word, you will be putting yourself in a place of listening to Holy Spirit. Right? This is very practical. We talk about this all the time around here. The importance of just spending time in God's word. Just getting up in the morning and saying, I want to hear from you. I want to spend time in your word. Yes, it takes time. Yes, it takes some diligence. But I'm just telling you that that is how you learn to listen to Holy Spirit. Because it's in those times that he reveals the truth of God's word to you, and he speaks. The question isn't, is he speaking? The question is, are we listening? Because he is speaking. And the more we expose ourselves to the truth of God's word, the more in tune our hearts will be to the direction of Holy Spirit. We will be able to discern the voice of the Spirit versus the other voices we hear. And we will know, because it will be in line with Scripture. So I want to just challenge you. Remember what we're desiring over here? This winning this battle with the flesh, this fruit of the Spirit being displayed and lived out in my life? Okay, well, the path to that is back here where I walk with the Spirit. And walking with the Spirit requires me to submit to him and to listen to him. It is directly tied into me submitting to what he's saying right here in his word. Because oftentimes he will use his word to highlight something. Have you ever done that? You've been reading something, and all of a sudden there's like this zinger that just goes right to your heart and says, that's you. I'm speaking to you. I'm revealing this to you. That's Holy Spirit speaking. And we need to be listening. Oftentimes he will also speak through the body of Christ, right? There might be a friend in life group who will say something, and there will be this instant understanding that it wasn't them who was speaking. It was the Holy Spirit who wanted to communicate something to me through them, through a trusted brother and sister in Christ. Maybe you go to a retreat, and the speaker is there, and God uses that. Even in a situation like this, on weekend services when we gather together, it's not me speaking or whoever's standing up here. Oftentimes it is Holy Spirit who wants to use God's word to say something to you. And so that's why it's so important to put ourselves in places where we're going to be exposed to his speaking so we can listen, right? That's why I think it's so important just to make this a habit in our lives, to be in a place where we can hear what the Spirit may want to say to you. And as we become more and more familiar with the voice of the Spirit, he will also at times speak directly to your heart and mind. Have you ever had that happen? That it didn't even come through some person or some situation, but you were just there and there was just this sense that, and I'm not talking about an audible voice here. I'm talking, there's a sense in your spirit that says, he's asking me to do this. He's communicating this to me, right? That is the speaking spirit. We need to tune our ears to listen to that. I think he probably says more than we listen to. I know I do sometimes. I experienced this just a few weeks ago. Before last week when I was over in Ohio, a few weeks before that, we had our district, our Washington, Oregon, just sort of our area, pastors gathered together. Each year we do this. And I was down at this district conference. And one of the evenings, the last evening, we were in a service, kind of like this, worship kind of service. And I sensed in my spirit, Holy Spirit saying to me, Jim, I want you to pray for your friend's son. And my friend is a pastor who's down there, and his son happened to be there with him that night at in this service. And I was sitting to where I could just, you know, kind of see him, that he would pray for him. Specifically, I want you to pray that he would surrender fully to God's call on his life to ministry. Because I know that he's been, I knew that he'd been pushing, you know, like, God, I don't want to, you know. And he's been kind of pushing off God's call on his life. And so during that service, I prayed for him. And then afterwards, service is over, and kind of walk away and go, okay. Next morning, last morning, our last service together, I sense prompted in my spirit just this. I want you to go to your friend's son, and I want you to tell him what you prayed for him last night. Oh, you know, I'm thinking, oh, you know, you might be thinking, well, pastor guy, he's like instantly going to do that. But I battled a little bit. I went, oh, man, that's weird. Like, I mean, this is my friend, but this is his son. I don't really know his son very well. And go up, I mean, was it pizza or was it really you? I don't know what that was last night. You know what I'm saying? And so I was just sitting there going, go, that's weird. He might think, you know. And so I battled in my soul for a little bit. I put it off. So the very end of the service, it was time to go. And I see him just kind of walk over somewhere where he's by himself. I go, okay. And I just go over to him and I just said, hey, you know, listen, I just want you to know that I was prompted last night to pray for you. And specifically, I prayed this for you, that you would surrender to God's call in your life. And he goes, oh, thanks. And I, like, walk away. There was no fireworks. There was no, like, angels singing. He didn't say, oh, thank you for saying that. He just went, oh, thanks. That's it. So I leave. And I'm thinking, oh, that was weird. Why did I do that, you know? And drive home, come home. Next day, I get a phone call from my friend. A very tearful phone call where he said, I just want you to tell you that last night it was my son's birthday and we were out to call on it, and he announced to our family that he has finally decided to surrender his whole life to God's call on his life in ministry, and some weird guy said something to him. And I don't say that to say anything about me, because believe me, I miss it more often than I get it, and I almost missed that one. Honestly. But I know this. I know that if we are going to walk in the Spirit, we have to be listening to the Spirit. Are you a listener? And if you're going, yeah, I am. Well, I hope that what you're saying is this. Yes, I am, because this is part of my life on a day-to-day basis. I am putting myself in a position over and over and over again to hear the speaking voice of the Spirit. Because that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. To submit to Him. To surrender to Him. And to listen to what He says. Here's the last one. Walking by the Spirit requires submitting, listening. Oh no, here it comes. And obeying. Obeying. Do you trust the Spirit enough to obey Him? To do what He says? This is all about faith. This is all about trusting. To say, okay, I've surrendered to you. You have spoken to me. Now, do I believe in you enough? Do I trust you enough to do what you say? Because what you say is true. What you say is good and right. And so I need to trust what you say. And that means obeying. There's a great picture of all three of these things happening in the book of Acts chapter 13. And you might just read right over it and miss it. And it's amazing. Acts chapter 13, the church has just been birthed. The Holy Spirit has been given to believers in Jesus. You talked about that last week at Pentecost, right? And in chapter 13 of Acts, it says this, verse 1. Now there were in the church of Antioch, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Don't miss this. All three things are happening right here. They're walking by the Spirit. They have submitted themselves to him through fasting, right? They're physically not eating and saying, "We want to know what you want to say to us." And they've been fasting and they've been praying. And as they've been praying, they've been putting themselves in a position of listening to Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden he speaks. And it's what? Isn't that what it says? Holy Spirit speaks. And here's what he said. "Set apart for me these two guys, Barnabas and Saul, to go off somewhere else to do ministry." Right? Now you might just read right over that, but listen to the deal. These are like the big wigs. These are the main dudes. These are the ones who planted this church. These are the pastors. These are the ones that are like the most awesome of all the leaders in the church. These are the two top dogs. And they've been pouring their lives into these people. They have built relationship. God's doing amazing things in the church. And I could just imagine the leaders hearing that and going, "Not them. Can't we send the B team? Or somebody else? Not them. They're like the best." Holy Spirit speaks and he says, "I want you to send these two. The strongest, most capable leaders in your church. I want you to send them away." And then what does it say they did? They laid their hands on them and they sent them off. In other words, they obeyed the voice of the Spirit. What a great picture. Walking by the Spirit means submitting, listening, and obeying. The Spirit speaks to an area of your life that he wants to work on. Will you listen and will you obey? I trust you enough to do what you've asked me to do. You've highlighted something in your word. You've zeroed in on an area of my life where maybe the flesh has been winning that battle, and you've asked me to lay this thing down. Will you obey? Because that's what it means to keep in step with, to walk with, to be led by Holy Spirit. Now, some of you may be sitting here right now, and what you're thinking is this: "Jim, that all sounds great, but he doesn't speak to me. I haven't been hearing the Spirit speak." Okay? If that's you, then let me ask you a couple of questions. Have you been in the habit of submitting, daily offering yourself as a living sacrifice to God? Have you been in that habit? Because if you haven't been in the habit of submitting to him, then you're probably not hearing from him. So has that been your habit? Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, day by day, dying to self and surrendering to him. Here's my life. Are you in the habit of doing that? Have you been in the habit of listening to him through his word? Has this been a habit in your life? "Well, I haven't been hearing him." Well, maybe that's why. Would you just make it a habit to expose yourself through reading of God's word, through exposing yourself, through being with God's people, to hear the Spirit speak? And finally, are you in the habit of doing what he asks? Sometimes we get right up to the like, "Okay, I heard him." But that's kind of hard. I don't think so. Right? James says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of it, right? Do it. Obey. Why wouldn't you? It's good. It's true. His directions are not going to lead you to that place you don't want to be. It's going to lead you to the place that you do want to be, because it's right in the center of his plan for your life. The band is going to come out, and we're going to close in a song together in just a moment. But I want to bring us back to what this passage communicates to us. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And you will display the fruit of the Spirit in your life. How does all that happen? As you walk in the Spirit. Well, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means submitting to Him, surrendering to Him, following. It means listening to what He has to say. And it means obeying when He asks you to do that, to surrender this, to follow Him there. And listen, as we walk in the Spirit, it is life-changing. It changes the inward battle that maybe we find ourselves losing all too often to. It changes the direction of that battle as we walk in the Spirit. All those things we desperately want to be true about us, to be known as loving and gracious and kind, self-controlled people, that is the result. That's what the Spirit does in you as you walk in Him. So what do you think? Is that what you want? I pray that it is. And that we'll make a decision today to say, I want to put myself in a place of walking with the Spirit. Because that will change everything. Would you stand with me? Lord Jesus, I want to pray over the gathering of this family this morning. And I want to pray, Holy Spirit, that right now in this place, you would speak. That you would speak to each one of us. And that we would hear you clearly right here, right now. Maybe what you want to say has something to do with our hearts of pride and arrogance. Our unwillingness to submit to your leadership. Our plans that we've already laid out in the navigation. I pray that you'd speak and that we would have ears to hear as you call us to submit. Holy Spirit, speak to us about listening well, about putting ourselves in a place of regularly hearing from you and your word through your people, that we would listen to what you're saying because you are speaking. And Spirit, I pray that if there's some of us in this room who what we need to hear right now is to simply do what you've asked us to do, that by faith we would step out and we would do that, that we would act on what you've already spoken. And in doing so, we would walk, we would keep in step with, we would live by the Spirit. And I know that in doing that, it will change us. And it will change the people around us. I pray that you do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's sing one last song together.